Thank you, Chrissy and Joanne, for bringing us this reading. This is Waitangi Weekend. I'll just move that out of the way too. This is Waitangi Weekend, and you might know that I like to bring something of the Christian history and Christian heritage of our country on Waitangi Weekend, as we celebrate this weekend. Today we are going to hear a story of a woman whose faith I find inspiring. Her name, I'll put it up, this is Hine, also called Jane, Tikiri Karamu. So we're just going to call her Hine, because that's easy and shorter for us to remember. And if we need to remember, that's the same word as Jane. So Hine is the Māori way of saying Jane. Just to give you a few little memory hooks for a name that's probably unfamiliar. The research I have done for this, I'm happy to share. I have the resources, so I'm happy to share that. The main sources that I have used are an Anglican resource called For All the Saints. Some of you may have heard of Fox's Book of Martyrs. Okay, the Anglican Church some years ago decided we could do a little bit better than that and celebrate lives, not just from Europe, but all over the world, and not necessarily martyrs, just significant Christian lives from all over the world. So Hine's story is in that. She's also in the other resources I've used. Te Ara, Encyclopedia of New Zealand, the National Library of New Zealand, the Government New Zealand History website, and some other resources. Happy to share that. So, Hine, Jane. Hine was born in 1814. She was born in Kaitaia. A little bit of her story and background. So there we go, Kaitaia, up the north there. Her mother was from Rotorua. Her mother was from an iwi or tribe in that region. Her father was an Irish sea captain. And apparently, he married her mother, said he'd be back, hopped on a boat, and was not seen again. So Hine grew up in Kaitaia initially, but when she was very young, her mother took her to Henry Williams Mission School in the Bay of Plenty. So very early on, she went to one of our most famous mission schools, Henry Williams's Mission School. And then her mother wanted to return to her family, so they went back down to Rotorua, where she attended the Chapman's Mission School, another very famous mission school in our early history. Her mother remarried, and later in 1849, they moved to Auckland, where Hine attended two more mission schools. She attended the Wesley College, the first Wesley College, and Three Kings College. And at 16, her studies had advanced to the point that she became an assistant teacher at Three Kings College. She was fluent in English, Māori, and French. She also worked as a governess, obviously a sharp cookie, to be teaching at 16. So this was her early life. She then married as a young woman. She married a chief from Kaitaia, Tikiri Karamu. That's where her surname comes from, and she keeps that chiefly surname. And they lived in Kaitaia for a time and had three children, but the records are that she left him after a disagreement. We don't know the details. And she returned to her mother in Auckland. Hine also did translating work, and she translated for people in Waikato, being fluent in three different languages. And in 1864, at the age of 23, she was at the Battle of Gate Pa in Tauranga. And a lot of our story focuses there. So this is a significant event in New Zealand history, that battle, and we will have some more details. First, however, there's another person we need to know about, who has influence on our story. This is a painting of Henry Taratoa. Taratoa was educated at St. John's Anglican College in Auckland, and he became a lay Anglican minister. With the sense of war gathering, as tensions were rising between Māori and European, he wrote some rules of war. His rules included Civilians are not to be harmed, including all women and children. Civilians are not to be harmed. If someone is wounded and they stop fighting, they are to be spared. And if someone surrenders, they are to be spared. At the top of his rules for war was this verse that we've just heard. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. This man, educated at St. John's College in Auckland, wrote these rules of war. And an article on him was published by the New Zealand Red Cross in 2015, celebrating the fact that his rules of war had such a humanitarian focus, and that in fact they were very similar to the Geneva Convention, but his rules came out 6 months before the first Geneva Convention. So in this part of the world, we can think we're ahead of the play. So his story was written up, as I said, by the New Zealand Red Cross. It was Taratoa and his rules of war, which was spread shortly before this battle. So we have a battle. I'm not a fan of war. Don't think many of us are. It's not a good thing. People are harmed. But this is a story, and we need to hear it for the context of how Hine responded in this situation. The records are that in the start of 1864, British soldiers started assembling in Tauranga. The British suspected that they were supporting fighters in the Waikato. That's all the information we have. From all the different websites, the different resources, it just says they suspected that they were supporting the people in the Waikato. So in April 1864, between 1,500 and 1,700 British troops surrounded Gate Pa, where there were 250 Māori. Hine was the only woman. She sort of got around the rules. The women were told to leave. She sort of got around the rules because she had a European father, and so somehow she squeaked through the rules, and her brother, her half-brother, was in, was fighting, and she wanted to be with him. The sad part, the New Zealand government history site records, the pa was bombarded for 8 hours. Oh, I actually have to go back a little bit. Sorry. But just before that, the day in the pa began with prayer. This is how they began every day, and it is recorded that this is how they began every day in prayer. And then the first cannons started firing, and actually Hine had to be pulled down into the trenches by one of the other people in the pa because it was that quick. The hostilities for the day had started. As I said, the New Zealand history site records the pa was bombarded for 8 hours. It also records that the British tried to, or did, nearly did break in a number of times, but there was confusion and they were repelled. At the end of the day, the British retreated from the field, and so hasty was their retreat that they left their dead and wounded where they fell. This was an embarrassment, and this is recorded as an embarrassment to the British. Over 1,500 against 250, and they retreated. It is important for our story, I know these are unpleasant details, that the British left their wounded where they fell. What happened next? Hine died in 1933, but before then she was interviewed about this, and these are her own words recorded in an interview. Towards evening, I heard a wounded man calling for water several times, and his repeated calls aroused my compassion. I slung my gun in front of me by means of a leather strap. I said to my brother, I'm going to give that Pākehā water. He wondered at me. I sprang up from the trench, ran quickly in the direction of our hangi, or oven, where we had left water in small tin cans, but found them gone. Then I crossed in another direction where I knew a larger vessel was, an old nail can with the top knocked in and with no handle. It was full of water. I seized it, poured out about half the water, and with a silent prayer, I turned, I ran towards the wounded man. The bullets were coming thick and fast. I soon reached him. He was rolling on his back and then on his side. I said, "Here is water. Will you drink?" He said, "Oh, yes." I lifted his head on my knees and gave him drink. He drank twice, saying to me, "God bless you." This was Colonel Booth, as I judged from his uniform and appearance. While I was giving him water, I heard another wounded man begging of me to give him water also. I took the water to him and gave him a drink. And another wounded man close by tried to crawl over for a drink. I gave him a drink, then took the can and placed it by Colonel Booth's side. And I sprang back to my brother, feeling thankful indeed at being at his side again. Powerful story, powerful words of this woman. Her courage, her conviction, her faith, her compassion. Just pause for a moment and think about what you notice in that story. Well, in 1869, when the land wars were over, Hine married a European man called Dennis Foley and moved to a farm in Katikati near Tauranga. There's a little bit more in her story that we need to hear. She attended theological school. She's continuing to learn about God, her faith and her passion. How did she have money to do this? This is obviously clearly very important to her. She also successfully reclaimed some of her family lands. Unfortunately, Dennis took to drink and mistreated her. He was certified as insane and committed to the Auckland Asylum. This woman had some ups and downs in her life. Sometime after this, Hine moved back to her mother's home in Rotorua. And there, she became a very active member of the Women's Christian Temperance Union. She served as the secretary for the Māori mission of the Women's Christian Temperance Union, and she also served as secretary of the Rotorua chapter of the Women's Christian Temperance Union. I missed this picture. There's someone artistically representing Hine, and apparently she did actually cup the water with her own hands. She had no smaller vessel to do so. Here is the logo of the Women's Christian Temperance Union for God, for home, and for humanity. They sought to raise awareness, to protect society, to protect the home. This was their work. Hine was very active in this society. She died in Rotorua at the age of 33. In 1933, at the age of 92. Sorry, I got the numbers the wrong way around there. And she's buried in Rotorua Cemetery. What a remarkable life. What a remarkable time period she covered. Different experiences. I asked before what stands out to you. I'm going to give you a moment again. I'd like to hear some of the answers. What stands out to you in Hine's story? Matt?
She fed all, or not, gave all of them a drink.
Yeah, she was willing to give all of those people a drink. Yeah, all who wanted. Yeah.
Women's Christian Temperance.
Yeah, her involvement in the Women's Christian Temperance Union. Yeah. Yeah, can I ask? Well, why does it stand out for you in terms of Hine's story?
She had a lot of strength.
Yeah.
Very.
Yeah, true. Yep. So her strength and what she went through and then working for the Women's Christian Temperance Union. Thank you. Yeah, well spotted. Anyone else wanting to share? It's a pretty remarkable story.
Her compassion.
It's extraordinary. Thank you, Peter. Yeah, it is extraordinary. Yeah. Yes.
She loved her enemy.
She loved her enemy. Yeah. She literally loved her enemy, and indeed, she took Jesus' teaching so seriously. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, was there someone else over here?
Her mother made sure she was educated and had the opportunity to learn about Christianity.
Yeah, her mother was clearly very determined, wasn't she? Sending her child wherever they moved to 4 different mission schools, making sure she's getting a Christian education and an education for her skills for her future, and also significantly knowing Jesus and an opportunity to learn about God. Yeah.
Her heart of forgiveness.
Her heart of forgiveness. Yeah. She must have been a forgiving person to do this. Yeah. It's real courage in that. Integrity. A few points that I've noted down, because there are many things, and you've raised some. Firstly, her conviction. She took Jesus' teaching seriously. Love your enemies. If your enemy is thirsty, give him something to drink. She didn't treat Jesus' teaching as a nice sentiment from a nice man with good wishes, or an aspirational statement, something you could aim for. She just received Jesus' word and acted on it. So remarkable, the conviction and the seriousness with which she took Jesus' teaching. Her compassion is remarkable. And the rights or wrongs of the situation, I don't know. That is not our concern here. But she'd spent her day with a stronger force against her. And they had been so scared as they left, they hadn't tended to their own wounded. And she tended to the enemy wounded when they called for water, at risk of her life. Such compassion and such courage, another word I would associate with her, to step forth and do this. And Hannah acted with faith. As we've noted, her mother invested and others invested so much in her faith, trusting Jesus, obeying him. I'm guessing we don't know her thoughts, but perhaps part of her courage is knowing where she's going if something went wrong, in that act of compassion. A woman of great faith. I'm also inspired by the latter part of Hannah's life, which you have drawn out as well, Jenny. Life brought her some painful and difficult experiences, particularly in her second marriage. We don't know what happened, but it's clear that what happened was badly wrong. Hannah used her life experiences as motivation to minister to and serve others. And her significant work in the Women's Christian Temperance Union is recorded in the history of this organisation. She knew these experiences, and she courageously, with strength, came through this to use her experiences to love and serve others. We have a God of redemption, and Hannah's life evidences that. Bad is bad. No getting around it. But when we give circumstances to God, he can transform them and bring good out of them, because God is a God of redemption. And especially as we saw in Hannah's experience, God used her experience to bring good for others. Start of Corinthians, Paul talks about the comfort we've received. We are then able to give that comfort to others. It seems Hannah did that. Hennie's service had a significant impact on her society and this organisation. So a couple of questions, but feel free to go with whatever the Lord is speaking to you about. What inspires you about Hino's life? One is how seriously do we take Jesus' teaching? We have this remarkable example of someone who really, really took Jesus' word seriously and acted on it. Is there a context where Jesus is calling you to take his words more seriously? What inspires you about her faith and her courage, her compassion? Are there areas that God is calling us, where God is calling you to show compassion? And are there painful or difficult circumstances, past or present, that the Lord is inviting you to bring to him, that he might transform them? Yeah. We can bring our cares to him. 1 Peter, cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Yeah. Let's take time in prayer.